Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is Bring Your Story Home to the Reader. And the reason we're talking about this is whenever you are talking to someone, you want to make sure that if you're using stories as examples, that they really relate to them. And stories are the creative conversion of life itself into a more powerful, clearer, more meaningful experience. They are the currency of human contact. Let's go deeper into storytelling. What do you say? My last article seems to have hit a nerve. In that article, I discussed the importance of storytelling as a skill, especially for copywriters attempting to persuade prospects to become customers. The brief exercise I suggested was aimed at sharpening your ability to weave a pithy tale. And the response was overwhelming. At the last count, more than 160 folks posted their effects on the new comments section of my website. Today, if you're up for it, I have another exercise that will help hone your writing chops to dangerous streetwise salesmanship levels. But first, let's do some triage. In case you've missed it, I reviewed specific submissions in the comment section. But in general, if there was one glaring fault in the three-sentence stories that were posted, it was the lack of clear punchline. This is the most common error rookies make, and it's an easy fix once you get hip to advanced storytelling tactics. Many of the narratives sort of floated without moorings. And while meaningful for the writer, the tales remain mysterious to the reader. Great storytelling sucks people into their world. This is especially important when one of your ultimate goals is to use your writing to sell stuff. Most legendary ads involve some type of storytelling. Even the most rollicking yarn can put people to sleep if it's too complex, goes off on too many tangents, and doesn't tickle the reader's short attention span. And most people are not natural storytellers, so they sometimes ramble off on quirky paths, repeating themselves, unable to clearly explain plot points, and bombarding the listener with irrelevant details. Did I tell you about the UFO that attacked us? No, it was Tuesday last week. No, wait, it was Wednesday. Yeah. It must have been Wednesday because I was headed to IHOP to meet Susie for waffles. You know, they have specials every Wednesday, don't you? This is how people get strangled. In my long experience trying to force folks to tell better stories, the first test is nearly always to trim the excess verbiage and fluff. The outline to follow is the setup, the tease of the payoff to come. Plot element, relevant details, action, the fulfillment of the tease, and punchline. Focus on your reason for telling your story, which can vary from pure entertainment to providing insight or persuading someone to buy. When you're done, you want your listener or reader to feel something, happiness. Oh, the puppy got rescued. Oh, wow. My God, I'm going to keep a loaded gun by my bedside from here on out. Astonishment. My neighbors are doing what at night? Oh, yes, eating grease. Hey, I want that kind of deal, too. The process can also be described biologically like this. foreplay, climax, resolution. Stories like sex benefit from a focus on the goal. The less extraneous interruption, the better. In other words, it's not about you at all, even if you're the star of the story. It's about your reader. Ideally, he will see himself in your story or feel that he's temporarily privy to the world you create with your words, a world he would not otherwise have access to. Have you ever read a story or a to a child once they get to the taste for it? Just say, once upon a time, will glaze their eyes over as they eagerly prepare themselves to be transported to a world far different from their own. The concept of transporting is critical. You're driving the story, and it's your responsibility to keep it on the road. Your reader will abandon you at the first hint that you don't know where you're going, and he'll despise you for getting his hopes up for a good tale if you then dash them with a feeble punchline. That's why striving for pithy, concise stories is so important for writers. Set up plot elements. And the three lines of this classic. One of the best, I've been poor, I've been rich, rich is better. No need for any detail. In this example, the words rich and poor carry their own payload of emotionally backstory with them. Because in this context, nearly everyone will have a feeling about being rich and a feeling about being poor. A long-winded rant about how poor you were or how rich you became is excessive. Concise, memorable stories pack a punch. Even better, there is a figure into the life of the reader in that three-line beauty. Rich is better may seem like an obvious statement, but coupled with the setup line, it delivers a strong message that smacks the truth. You want to hear what else this guy has to say. The flow of quick stories told the feeling is always right with implications for the reader. However, good ad copy doesn't rest on implications. It's got to move quickly to specifics. So here's a simple tactic from my own bag of tricks that has helped bring many a story home to readers. First, you tell your tale aiming for the kind of breathless prose that makes you prospect afraid to exhale for fear of missing a delicious detail. Then, you deliver the punchline or the moral or just the ending. Don't try any clever transitions back into your sales pitch. Instead, you merely say, and here's what that means to you. When reading fables to kids, any attempt to explain the moral would ruin the transcendent pleasure of listening to them. Ideally, you want the ending to rattle around in their heads while they mull over the ethical implications and come up with their own conclusion. Kids hate it when adults wag fingers and try to force lessons on them. But when you're writing to adults, you no longer have the luxury, especially with ad copy. Adults are so numb to incoming data, they will hear even a great story stored away somewhere in their cluttered brain and move on to the next volley of arriving stimuli without coming to any conclusion whatsoever. So as the copywriter, it's your job to complete the thought. You just continue the thread, going deeper into the sales message. I've been poor, and I've been rich. Rich is better. Here's what that means to you. You can continue with your life believing that money can't buy happiness if that makes you feel better. But I'm here to tell you that having a pile of extra cash is actually a fabulous feeling, and your life will get better almost immediately. Plus, since I've already done the hard work of going from clean broke to filthy rich, I know all the shortcuts, and I'll share them with you, etc. So if you're up for it, Here's your next assignment. Tell a short story, three-sentence story, using the setup, plot, action, and punchline outline. And then write a one- or two-line figure that brings the story home to your reader. You're allowed to be nonsensical with the exercise. In other words, you don't actually have to be selling anything. You can make it all up. Just think really, really hard about how the punchline of your story might lead you into a sales message. Be concise and bring it home to the reader. That's the key to the world-class sales messages. You can't fail at the exercise because you're just warming up your chops. You don't learn to ride without hopping into the saddle. And it's okay to fall off as long as you climb back on. And why we're telling this is because so many of us today are in business for ourselves. And our biggest drawback is being able to build on this. So think about what you can do that can really, really help you get your business where you truly want it to be. And remember, one of the things that you need to do is generate a search engine optimization. And one way to do that is to go on ezine.com, become a member, and write articles consistently. Because when you're writing articles and Google links to it, then guess what? It will increase the number given to your name. And that's always important because think about it. Wouldn't you want to be able to tell someone how to Google your name? And when they Google your name, they can see how much you've done. Then that gives you credibility. And that's the biggest thing that people need is to learn credibility with their business. For instance, if you had credibility, wouldn't it help you build a much better business today and be truly what it is that you want your business to be? So if there's so many things that can help you build and grow a business, so think about all those things. Think how you can tell the story. What is the story that you want to tell about your business? And now, remember, when people read a book, if they're reading a romance novel, if they're watching a soap opera, what is it that draws people in? And that's character development. And remember, what's happening today with soap operas, why they're losing their ranking on TV, that they've gone down so low that you see so many being canceled, that to the point that what's happening is people are watching TV where they want to learn something today. They're not learning anything from a soap opera. When it was story-driven, when it was character development, people got involved with their characters. They followed those characters. They would watch them daily just to see what was going on with them. Today, it's more plot-driven. How am I going to get from this anxiety to that anxiety, and how is that going to... So you can see just how stories have changed and why soap operas just don't have the plot lines they used to, especially the long-running ones. The longest-running one right now is General Hospital. They only got renewed because the talk show that was in the time slot they were going to be moved to was doing very poorly and had not gotten the listenership that people wanted it to. Why has the Harry Potter books gone and skyrocketed? Because there is a plot layer that people can really get into. And what happened was it got to a point where it was a situation where it wasn't that people were just buying the book, but they actually flocked the movie. So look at what the movies are doing today. They're taking the Twilight Saga. They're taking things that have a storyline that people can fantasize about, that they can really buy into, and really making a story about it. So it's about your reader. He will see himself in your story or feel like he's temporarily privy to the world you create with your words. That's why striving for privy, concise stories is so important for writers. Set up plot elements, actions, punchline. People who, okay, so remember, what you want to do when you're writing a story, when you're writing sales copy to sell your product or your service, how are you going to develop it where it's going to be something that people are going to want to get to buy? And that all comes in how you are telling your story. The problem is that we live in the information age, and a lot of people don't understand that the information age today is that people are bombarded with information, bombarded with a lot of information. So how can you put yourself into a position where you're going to be getting enough people who have a strong interest in what it is that you have to sell, and how are they going to want to do something that is going to generate an income for themselves? Think about the things that you're doing. Think about all of the things that you do and how you can increase your opportunities in today's marketplace. Think about it. Where will you be in the next few years, and how are you going to do what's going to get you what you truly want in life? And that you know, the biggest thing is that in today's marketplace, in the workplace, you still have people thinking about how they're going to go out and get the job and how they're going to trade dollars for hours for dollars. Well, you want to think more about a project-driven type of job marketing, because we have truly moved into a performance-based industry. And in the performance-based industry, the effort you put out is determining what your income is going to be. So how are you going to change your attitude? And how are you going to do the things that you truly want to do that can help you grow the business that you truly want to have in today's marketplace? And remember, it's all about how you can increase your opportunity. And in so many ways, people have lost interest in what's going on because they just don't follow what is happening. That the writers today, they're not the same writers that they were years ago. Plus, people are working more today. So unless they are truly trying to understand how to create a story that's going to help someone truly build a business, then where would you be? How would you be able to move things in that direction? So look for and be able to learn how to tell a story. If that means taking an advertising class where you learn how to write, whether you go to a class that a journalist would go to where they would learn how to write stories, that is an important part of having a business today. How are you going to tell a story that's going to create an interest that will help people to want to believe in how they can help you grow and expand your business in the marketplace? Because that's what it's all about. And we all tend to forget those things. And we forget that when we go out and buy something, we are looking at how we can grow a substantial income today. And let me back up and let me tell you a short story for the last few minutes that we're in. And this story is about an internet business. and I'm sure many of you have heard about, and I've even had someone that I interviewed about Zeke Rewards. It's not that the business model was wrong, and I'm not even sure that it's what the owner did that was wrong, but what happened was that the way people were representing it, the stories they were telling, that what happened is it ended up being misconstrued as an investment program, even though it was more of a profit sharing based on the retail sales from their store club, where I purchased a leather jacket that sells in the store for $125 for as little as $21 because I bought it at wholesale. Same product, same quality. I've even bought watches through my store. In fact, I was involved with this company when it was Free Store Club, which was just the storefront on the internet. And then what happened was he wanted to set up a program that was penny auctions, where people could buy the same things that they would go in the stores and buy for a much lower price and get as good a quality. Because think about it, when a store buys a product in bulk, they get it for a much cheaper price than they're actually putting it on the market for. So what happens is they make a profit on it. And then what happens is in a penny auction, it's like going into an auction house and bidding on a painting. And its value is based on the number of bids. The only difference is when you're doing penny auctions online, you are profit sharing in the money made on the sale. Nothing wrong with that. But what happened is that because people were profit sharing and they were given bids back, that the way it was set up, the way people were talking about it, it could very easily be looked at as an investment program. And because people were making money, some people who had money in the banks and had stocks and bonds and had 401ks were taking large amounts of money out and investing in this program because they were able to double and triple their money. So what happened was people were looking at it as an investment program, which in essence in the government eyes was known as a Ponzi scheme, which is when you look at the difference between what was going on with Zeke Rewards and what, say, Bernie Madoff was doing was they were looking for people who already had money and could invest thousands and thousands of dollars into their program. And that what happened was they literally put themselves out of business. And in essence, Paul Burks did the same thing to himself because he, even though he finally had set up a compliance test and some other things and were beginning to put those things in place, that because people didn't know how to explain the program, that they were misconstruing it, he had already got the SEC involved in looking to his program, and then when they deemed it a Ponzi scheme, then what they did was they shut it down. And yes, some people had made a lot of money, but what happened was most of it was in point. You had to set it up where you were either going to be getting a 70-30 or a 60-40 or a 50-50 to be able to get the cash out. And when you got the cash out, then you had extra money to spend. But what was happening was people kept putting more and more, and it building up in points. Well, the points weren't actual dollars in the way they were set up, but because it could very easily be misconstrued and because of what was going on, and then what's happened is that a lot of people, what's happening is other companies, other people have set up using the same model that was set up with Zeke Rewards because there's nothing wrong with the model itself, but the way you represent the model that was creating the problem, they are taking steps to make sure that they do not suffer the same problems that Paul Burks did and have the government come in and shut them down and cause their people to lose money. And in my case, I had only just begun to take money out, and I had only gotten $82. So when since it used an e-wallet company that the money was sent in, I went to withdraw the money, and in the process of them withdrawing the money to put it onto a debit card, they withdrew the money from my account, and then that threw my account into arrears. Then when the government came in, said anything tied to Zeke Rewards, we're going to freeze. And so in essence, I had to go back to my bank and explain to them what happened and how it was done. And because of what went on with Zeke Rewards, they were able to take it and say, you know what, we can reverse this. It just depends on did you get the bid. Well, no, I never got any bids. In fact, I wasn't even using it to buy bids. I was just trying to get money out of an e-wallet. So they were able to refund that money to me that was lost. And what's going to happen is it's going to take 2 years for the SEC to wade through all of what was going. And a lot of what happened with Zeke Rewards was not that it was a bad program, but that it grew too fast for the owner to handle it. He didn't have enough people in customer service to handle the number of calls coming in. He didn't have enough to be able to handle it on the chat line. Plus, when people were sending their money orders in to buy bids, it was taking months for them to get through it. So that what happened was people were at a point where they just didn't trust him. And then that's when all the complaints went in, and that's when the government came in. So, you know, any business you're in, and why I'm telling this story is because any business you're in, you want to make sure that the growth of your company you can handle. Because if you can't handle it, if you can't give good customer service, and you don't know how to sell your product correctly, then guess what? It's very easy for you to suffer in the same way that Zeke Rewards did and Penny Auctions did. And it's not that Penny Auctions itself is a bad product. It's how you market it. And remember, you can go to my website, and my website is the number one personalcareercoach.com, and you can sign up to receive personal coaching or group coaching, where you can learn how to put together a strategy on building a successful business in today's marketplace. Because think about it. You want to build a successful business. First of all, you have to be honest. You have to be above board in everything that you do. You also have to be able to know how to tell a story. And you have to be able to deliver your product within a reasonable amount of time. Because if you're selling a product or service and people don't get what they want in the time allotted and people are willing to work and wait, but they're not going to wait too long for you to do something that you promised to do and you don't deliver. And being able to deliver is very much a part of building a successful business in today's marketplace. So think about all of the things that you can do and how you can build a successful business. And remember, you can come back next month, next week, and we will be talking about another topic that can help you build your business.